14. I might preach a couple more messages along this line, but we're just going to start off with one in a general way. And I'm going to preach on deliver by righteousness. Deliver by righteousness. Ezekiel 14. I'm going to start at verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it. And I will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. All right, let's start there, and we'll talk about delivering by righteousness. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for people of God who've come to hear your word. We hunger for it. We know man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need your word. We don't always see it because we just look at the flesh and physical around us, but we need your word, Father. Lord, I thank you for the people you brought tonight. I thank you for giving them the strength and giving all of us the ability to keep serving you and not falling. That we're here tonight serving you, Father, no matter what the past has been or whatever we've been through in our lives. And I thank you for that and their faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight and give us some wisdom and in this area and speak. Give me your power, your inspiration, and speak your words through me. And I yield myself to you as best I can, Father, just to let you speak. And I pray you would in Jesus' name. Amen. This country, and we feel like I talk about the 70 years a lot, the 70 years of captivity, because it's a huge part of the Bible. I would guess that the captivity part of the Bible is more than the New Testament. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Daniel, many of the minor prophets. You got the recording of it in First Chronicles and Second Kings. You got the recording of it. It is a lot of the Bible. It's a very important thing. And so at this time, as we talked about the Jeremiah side of it, Ezekiel is actually a captive, and he is in Babylon, and his message is just submit to this thing, submit to your punishment, and I'm going to judge this nation, I'm going to destroy Jerusalem, and accept it and stay here, but you're fighting me even here in Babylon, and it's kind of a hard book, kind of a book of judgment. And they were really rebelling against God's judgment and continuing their idolatry, which sent them there for that, and very wicked in the way they're rebelling against God. If you go back just a little bit in verse 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up the idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, that the Lord will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man. And I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They're in idolatry. They've forsaken God, and God, they're estranged from God. And they also had the gall. God gets very angry about it, even in chapter 14, where they were idolatrous and openly in everything against God said, but then they'd go to God and say, Lord, tell us what your word is. But they would only generally do that to the false prophets who tell them what they wanted to hear, but they are put it on a pretense of being spiritual still and following the Lord. And the Lord just was more frustrated at that. He said, just don't bother. Don't put on the act. You know you're not following me. Why are you coming and acting like you're spiritual? And so he said, I'm going to deal with you personally if you keep on doing this. And he brings that judgment upon them because they were estranged from him and so far from them. And then he says, I'm going to bring a judgment on you, and I'm going to destroy Jerusalem, and I'm going to do this so harsh that it's going to be unstoppable. But by this time in Ezekiel, they've already had the three destructions from God, and the first one is a mild, and God said, okay, now just take your comeuppance and just relax. And we talk about this in another message. Second time, he said, hey, you're rebelling against me still. You're fighting against me. Take it. And a third time, he just said, okay, you will not stop. I'm going to do utter destruction. They're underneath that judgment of the utter destruction, and it's not going to turn back. And God says, you're desolate now because of that. And then in the middle of that, it's just fascinating because this chapter, he comes and he says something very interesting and that I think is fascinating. He says certain people can deliver by their righteousness. But in this case, even those people can't deliver you. And I think that's fascinating because the way that God words this, he says, I can take the greatest Christians of all time, but you are so far gone because I gave you so many opportunities. It's kind of like three strikes with the law. It's kind of like, you know what, you got three strikes, you're going to go to jail for life. Doesn't matter, I don't want to do it, the judge might say, but you've gone so far, you've had three assault felonies that we have in this state, you're stalked up for life. You have three assault felonies, at two you should have stopped. You know, I mean, now the third time you're saying, no, I don't want to go to jail for life, I didn't mean to do it. But he says, now you're underneath that. And what he says is fascinating. Verse 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. That's an interesting little line there. Now, God thinks very highly of all three of these guys. He said Job is a perfect and upright man. I don't think the Lord looks at me and calls me perfect. I don't know about you, but I think I got a little ways to go there. And that's what God said about Job. And of course, Noah, you know what he was. He was the man that God was going to destroy the whole world. But he says, but Noah, he's stopping me. And then for 100 years, built an ark by faith, as we talked about Sunday morning. And then Daniel. Daniel, who shook the entire world by himself as a servant. And the entire world ended up having to worship God and speak good things about God and change all the laws. The entire nation became the number two man in two different world empires because of his godliness. These three men, amazing men. He said, if Daniel and Job and Noah were here, it says by their righteousness, they could only deliver themselves. They couldn't deliver this nation. That's pretty amazing. And then he repeats it three times. God is very passionate about this. Verse 17, if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, say the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. So they couldn't even deliver their children. Now, there are some people in the Bible you'll find they were able to deliver their family. But it says, in this case, they couldn't even deliver their own children. My judgment is so strong right now. It's so intense upon this. Verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. And he says it again. And I didn't read the whole passage. I read all three verses. Let me go back to verse 16. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Verse 18, though these three men are in it, as I live, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. Verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were all in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by the righteousness. First of all, question, would they be delivered if they were there? They would be delivered by their righteousness. But it said, even those three, their righteousness wouldn't even extend to their own family. But if you're familiar with the Bible, and as I read this and talk about this, your mind might jog back to stories where certain people delivered a certain amount of people. And a certain amount of deliverance went from them. In other words, their righteousness was powerful enough, it encompassed a certain amount of people around them. And that happens because their righteousness had the ability to deliver. Think about these three men. Noah, if you look at, keep your finger there, but look at Genesis 6, the famous Genesis 6, where God's going to destroy the world. And verse 6, he repented, well, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man is great upon the earth, and the imagination of his heart was only evil continually, and he repented of the Lord that he had made man upon the earth. And it grieved him, and the Lord said, I will destroy man which I have created from the mouth of the face of the earth. We think that's written, we think God said, I'm going to destroy mankind except for Noah, but that's not what God said. God said, I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. And then he looked and said, no, I'm going to save Noah and his family. And I think if you see the difference there, Noah's righteousness and Noah's faith and Noah's godliness stopped. God was going to destroy all of us. Remember, the rainbow wasn't there yet. And Noah was so godly that literally you would never have lived. And your family and your kids and your parents, none of them. This one man, it didn't say Noah's family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Matter of fact, we find out Noah's family wasn't so hot after the ark delivered everybody. His daughters did some things and that some bad things happened and stuff. But we find God looked down and said, I'm going to save mankind. I'm going to save Noah, and I'm going to save 8 people. I'm going to save his family because Noah has found grace in my sight. So Noah is going to deliver mankind. But so you see his ability to deliver. He said, but Noah, though he saved the human race, he couldn't save you, Israel, because you are too messed up, and I'm not going to lift my judgment. He's not saying the whole country's... Later in the chapter, I can show you the verse. It's verse 22. Yeah, behold, therein shall be left the remnant. He said, I'm not going to destroy you from off the face of the earth. However, everybody in the nation is going to come under judgment, and nobody's going to stop the judgment of this nation. Daniel saved his friends. He saved the wise man. And he made it so the Jews could worship God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, there is no God who can deliver after this sort. And that was what him and his friends did. And they were going to come and destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And then came Daniel. And a couple different kings said, there is no God like Daniel's God. And Daniel is the one who can deliver people. And boy, he was this great man who really has nothing bad said about him in the Bible. Daniel, this amazing man. And Daniel, you see, delivered people. Daniel delivered people. And literally all the Jews might end up getting killed by the time Babylon was done. If it weren't for Daniel and the Jews there in Babylon, he rescued them and became the number two man in the nation. And he saved his friends. He saved many things. And save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others. And let me take you to the book of Job and watch how God used Job to deliver and his power of deliverance. Job was right before Psalms. And at the end of the book of Job, Job chapter 42, and God is very mad at Job's so-called friends, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, a Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Just as Job 42, and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shumite and Zophar the Namathite went and did according to the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job, and the Lord turned again the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much. Job's friends could not be delivered until Job prayed for them. God's judgment was on Job's friends, and yet because of Job's goodness, his friends were delivered when he prayed for them. Deliverance of these three men, however, would not extend there, but the deliverance goes out. You may not be under the judgment of Israel. I don't think America is under the same kind of judgment Israel is. I don't think your family is under the same kind of judgment that Israel was. I don't think that you or I are under the same kind of judgment. I don't think Des Moines or Washington or Seattle is under the same kind of judgment that Israel was. Certainly not. They're not as accountable. We're not in the same kind of situation. We weren't. Not all of America is God's people. We aren't bowing down to idols of Baal. We are doing things wrong. We're immoral. I'm not minimizing our immorality as a nation or as a people or as individuals or as your family. I know you have some family members who aren't the greatest. But you know what? Righteousness delivers on a person. And it's very powerful the way we see this happen. There is so much more in motivation to live in victory than just to feel good, be blessed in your life, or just you. The people who delivered in the Bible, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Moses, and we can name a lot of people who delivered in the Bible, Job, Daniel, Noah. Did you know Noah did not know that God's judgment said, I'm going to destroy the world, and I'm going to destroy every human? Noah did not know that, but he delivered because of who he was. He was already that. He didn't say, I have to become something now because now somebody's dependent on me to deliver them. The whole human race is dependent upon me. No. Noah just was that, and God looked down and said, oh, you know what? I'm not going to destroy him. His righteousness is so good, and I'm not going to let his family be destroyed either because of his righteousness. If you can imagine a shine coming out of you or your arms stretching out, your righteousness is the ability to deliver, and greater righteousness delivers more, depending on how wicked it is, obviously, because even those guys couldn't deliver around them, or how great your righteousness is. And so you are ordained by God to be a deliverer and to help people, and your ability delivers those around you. You say, well, my brother, my mom, my uncle, my friend, my husband, my wife, they don't even want to be delivered. You know what? Noah's family had no idea that Noah was delivering them. They had no idea. Israel is down there committing idolatry and dancing and bowing down to an idol they had just made while Moses is on the mount, not knowing that Moses was standing in front of God and saying, no, do not destroy them. Did they know that they needed that? No, they were right in the middle of their immorality, and Moses was delivering them. And I want you to understand this. You have a responsibility of deliverance. And these people could deliver themselves. Nobody else in the nation was going to be delivered. But those people, if they were alive and there at the time, Daniel was, by the way. Daniel was alive, same time as Ezekiel. And a matter of fact, the book of Ezekiel references Daniel. And Daniel delivered himself. And he says, but if you do these certain things, even these people would only be able to deliver their family. There's so much more motivation in life. And I want to say this. I think... it's okay for a while for you to be all about you in the Christian life. That's babyish. It's a baby, all to think about is themselves. Little Becca is not saying, you know, I wonder how mom and dad are doing. I wonder if brother and sisters are doing good. I wonder how everybody's feeling today. No, it's I'm hungry. My diaper needs change. I'm sleepy. It's just me. And that's a baby Christian. What about me? I need the prayer to answer. When is God going to bless me? Me? And it's our nature. We're babies. But eventually you have to move on as a Christian to get beyond, because Brian and I talk about this. We'll be praying when you have staff meeting, we'll pray for people and pray for the church and say, have you checked on so-and-so? How are they doing? And were they were there Sunday, right? And we'll just do different things and make a plan. We make sure you visit so-and-so. They haven't been there. Or I'll go by and talk to them or whatever. We make a plan. And many times when somebody is living in defeat, one of the things that we do is we just say, oh, you know, they could do such great things if they would ever become a good Christian. Not in a way of criticizing them, it's just heartbreaking. Because all they're thinking about is, I really like doing this thing, and I want to do this thing, not realizing that they are the deliverer for somebody. And it's not just about you and how you're feeling and how you're doing. It's about you've got to be a good Christian, and you got to quit not play games, because you've got to deliver somebody. You've got to be strong enough, because people are on your coattails whether you know it or not. And most of the deliverers in the Bible did not know anybody who was in their coattails. They just became something. And you might say, well, I'm going to teach so-and-so. I'm going to teach my parents. I'm going to teach so-and-so. I'm going to rebel against them. I'm going to teach my pastor. I'm going to go do what I want to do. Or I'm going to go do my sin I like to do. I'm not going to tell anybody to sneak around. But the thing about it is, God knows it, and you're not the deliverer now. And your righteousness might not even keep you from God's judgments, let alone God is relying on you to go and deliver somebody else. And you've got to come to the point in your life where you say, I've got to be something because somebody else needs me to be what I need to be. God is dependent on me. And there's many instances I can show you this. Fortunately for Israel, Moses walked with God. If we go back to Exodus here and look at this, nobody in Israel knows that Moses is delivering them at the moment. They don't even care. They're too busy dancing naked and worshiping an idol they made. And you might say, man, my family or my whoever doesn't even know. They don't even care about God. They're not interested in that, interested in any of that stuff. And man, they deserve. Well, before you say somebody deserves too much punishment, which they do, remember, so do you. and realize it's sin and Satan trying to destroy them, and you say they just get what they deserve, the judgment of God isn't pretty. And it could be that if you'd become the deliverer, you could be, you'd be surprised what kind of Christian they'd become. But a lot of Christians don't have the vision enough to see that anybody can become a great Christian. And before you say, you don't know how bad they are, they don't care, they're hard, they're this, they do that, you don't know how they mock you, Pastor. Understand, it's a good thing you weren't the one who had to win the Apostle Paul to Christ. Because he wasn't high in the candidates of the greatest Christian who's ever lived and person who's going to write half the Bible, half the New Testament, when he was killing Christians. You don't know who might be delivered. You don't know who might be the person who does the great things. You don't know who's the person who might be the one, and you're the deliverer. And here's Moses delivering. In Exodus 33, and verse 11, and the Lord spake with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And so here is Moses walking with God and in greatness being close to God. Exodus 32. Luckily, Moses had been on the mount and had talked to God face to face and had been close to him because he has to save them a couple times. Exodus, and he was able to be the deliverer. Exodus 32. In verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against us, thy people, which thou hast brought forth in the land of Egypt, the great power of the mighty hand? Verse 10, God said, let me destroy them. I'll just make of you a nation, Moses. Moses' godliness was so great that God said, Moses, let's destroy all of them down there. I'll take you. You've earned my deliverance, and I'll make a new nation out of you. And Moses said, no, I care about those people. By the way, you know, this is after they griped and complained, and talked about killing him a bunch of times. I might have said, that's not a bad idea, Lord. Let me think about that. But Moses was more merciful than the rest of us. And Moses said, no, Lord. And Moses begins a prayer that delivers Israel. Verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out for no reason. Remember, verse 13, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, whom thou swearest today, they'd be like the stars of heaven. And verse 14, the Lord repented of the evil that he was going to do unto them. Let me refer back to this in the book of Acts, chapter 7, and verse 35. And when Stephen's preaching, he talks about this. And Acts 7, 35, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and judge? The same Moses did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared unto him out of the bush. God sent Moses to be their deliverer, and he became that. Yet Moses, when he went up the mountain, understand, they weren't committing idolatry when he went up the mountain. But he was walking with God, and God says, my mercy's on you. I will not judge you, Moses. Let's make of you a nation. He says, I'm going to deliver them also. And his righteousness was to an extent where it extended to an entire nation, and there's probably 2 or 3 million people, many children, delivered because of his righteousness. And Moses had more riding on him than he just wanted to live a good life. I understand if you fail and play around in sin and do not yield to God and just become mediocre and continue to take your time and play games and becoming a good Christian, you might be stopping God's deliverance from somebody. God, not just death, not just destruction, but even mercy in their life. God's blessing upon their life. Them getting saved, possibly. People you don't even know yet. It's riding on us. It's a very common theme in the Bible. It's very common. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And watch, as I read this, watch the deliverance of Jesus' mission. He understand he was a deliverer. In the famous Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. It's very common. 1 Peter 3:7 says a husband and wife should get along. Why? That their prayers be not hindered. Understand that. It's a great motivation because you don't want to hit each other with a frying pan. That's good. I agree. At least if you're going to do it, use a rubber rolling pin. That's good. However, there's something more noble in the Christian life that you eventually get to, is saying, you know what? We don't want to talk to each other, and we're not getting along, but you know what? We better fix this thing, because if we don't, our prayers are going to be hindered. And somebody needs us to get our prayers answered. That's higher and noble than, I just don't like it, she won't touch me, and I don't like it because he keeps glaring at me and biting my head off. There's something more noble than just you. And that's the power of God upon you and the blessing of God upon you, so you can help somebody, so you can deliver somebody, so you can have God's blessing upon you, so that some relative, some grandparent, some grandchild, some child, maybe your own family, you say, my family's so wicked and terrible. That's why you're there and you're a Christian. And can I say this? I see amazing things, and we always see amazing things happen when someone really gets it. I mean, they get fixed. They quit playing games. They quit tinkering around the same little sins. They really get to prayer, and they really get in their Bible. What begins to happen, and the Bible says it can happen, by the way, the Bible says very clearly, a wife can deliver a husband without the word. And it happens. And we always see it. If the wife will become a very, very godly wife, the husband will be delivered. It just extends to him. Just happens. She becomes the deliverer because God's blessing. And I don't know how to explain it, and people, I can't tell people, this is what's going to happen to your family. But all of a sudden, when somebody gets themselves tremendously right and gets the righteousness of God upon them and the power of God upon them, it just starts, and the waves start rippling across the whole lake. And all of a sudden, they'll say, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. My brother's coming to church on Sunday. You don't understand. Pastor, you don't believe this. My husband asked me to pray before a meal. Boy, you know what, Pastor? It's great. My boss, all of a sudden, the business turned around. I said he'd pray for the business, and all of a sudden, our business just take it off. My boss really is acknowledging it happened by God. Why? Because your righteousness extends out from you, and the greater the righteousness, the greater deliverance, where Daniel was able to deliver a nation and a kingdom because of his righteousness and because of what he did. You see Ezekiel in chapter, let's go back to our text there, but go a little farther forward. This judgment happened because God sought for a deliverer, but he couldn't find one. God would have delivered this entire nation from the judgment that they now cannot get out of, and there's no stopping it. But the Lord said, I do not want to do this. I do not want to judge this. I want to have mercy. I want to save. I want to do great things. And so somebody stop me. Moses did it. And God said, okay, I'm going to judge this nation. Somebody stop me. Listen, God said to Moses, the phrase in Exodus 32 is very funny. He said, Moses, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against this people and I can destroy them. Why, pray tell, is God asking Moses to leave him alone so he can do what he wants to do? God could have destroyed him without Moses' permission. It's not like Moses had a God shield that could have blocked his judgment and went off into space somewhere. Okay? But he said, I'm going to do this. Stop me, Moses. Stop me. And Moses did. And he comes to Israel and says, somebody stop me from my judgment upon this nation. And one person could have delivered the entire nation. Ezekiel 22, verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and have exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed a stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should take up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I sought for a man singular. Therefore, have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way I have a recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord. But I have, you. Somebody might say in this room, or somebody hearing this message might say, Pastor, if I was the one to deliver America, I would become a great Christian. I don't have anybody to deliver. I don't have anybody around me who wants to serve God. I don't have anybody who's Christian to I'm delivering. I'm not even a deliverer. There's other people in my family who are more spiritual than me. I don't have anybody to deliver. Exactly. Number one, you do not know when you have somebody to deliver. Remember, Noah didn't know it. A lot of people didn't know it. Number two, very simply, you don't always know when you're a deliverer. You'll know in heaven. Sometimes one person in the family gets saved, and pretty soon everybody's coming to church. That happens, and it's obvious. Sometimes you don't even hear from the person for years, but they've already changed because God's been good to you. Sometimes they change, and you thought they just changed, but when you get to heaven, you're going to find out God said they changed because you were walking with me, and I sent mercy and grace in time of need to help, and they're serving because of what you did. And sometimes, lastly of all, you don't have any to deliver because your righteousness is not extending. It might not even extending. God may be, see, the baby kindergarten, preschool, nursery of Christianity is, you just got to get yourself out of the gutter so God quits judging you. And that's important. Start with that. Get yourself out of the gutter so you quit having God judging you and you quit having bad things happen to you because of your own sowing and reaping. That's the very baby thing down here. And if you can't get out of that, don't you understand what noble causes are waiting for you if you can get out of that? But if you can't even deliver yourself, get the mote out of your eyes so you can see to deliver somebody else. Isn't that what the Bible says? But you can't even see to deliver somebody else because you're in that kindergarten. And I hope you are beyond just messing around so that God's punishing you all the time. Now, I'm not talking about a slip-up. You know what I'm talking about, your life. If you will get to the point, you will begin to see people who need you. But you got to become righteous in the first place before you see how your deliverance works and how far it can go. And you literally might have revival in America in 5 years because of you. And we will never know it's because of you until heaven. You might have all of a sudden your grandkids who you love so much, just for no reason, their parents who don't go to church say to you, you know what, can you take the kids to church with you? We've had that. And because God's blessing you. God's blessing you. Let's go back to our text and just finish up there. Ezekiel 14. In this particular case, we saw, there's other cases, but Luke 4:18, it said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. So God's Spirit brings deliverance. And there's other reasons and there's things, but in this passage, God simply says, their deliverance, that'll only go to themselves, but they will be able to deliver themselves, but they wouldn't even deliver their wife and kids because of the situation. And it's fascinating. Remember what I'm saying there for a sec. Isn't it fascinating that Daniel, Noah, and Job, they couldn't even deliver themselves, but one person could have got them stopped before then where nobody had to be delivered. The one person. But now it's gone so far that those people wouldn't even be able to save their kids. And remember Job, in Job chapter 1, it said every day he would do sacrifices for his children in case his kids forgot to sacrifice themselves. He knew he's the deliverer of his family. And it's obvious when you're a parent, you're the deliverer. I want to say that. You are automatically stamped as a deliverer. That's your job. Anybody else delivers them, it's God's mercy. It starts with the parents. Even if they don't talk to you, you're still the deliverer. But the key, what was their key, these three men? God said, what would deliver them and what would make them at least deliver themselves? It's their righteousness. Verse 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. What is the method of deliverance in this verse? Their righteousness, their personal righteousness. I want to say this. Helps me a lot. Helps me not to get a critical spirit of people. Helps me not to gossip. And helps me not to get bitter at people. Very simply. Usually, when somebody else is messed up and not doing well, I'm the reason. And I usually look at myself. Within the last 2 weeks, wrote a letter of apology to somebody who is doing very bad things and messing up their life, and they're doing it their own free will, but I wrote them a letter of apology and said, I apologize. I was not a good enough pastor, or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. I apologize to them. If I'd have prayed more for them, I'd have fasted more, if I'd have been more holy, I think that the presence of God had been so good in their life, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing right now. And before I criticize our nation or the president, hey, I used to drive around South Chicago when President Obama was there in his neighborhood. Maybe if I'd been praying while I was driving that bus more, he'd be more godly of a man and be walking with God and praying for our nation and preaching the gospel from the White House. So don't blame President Obama, blame me. And before I get too down on people and what a stupid, foolish, wicked, rah, 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 I always look at myself and say, you know what? I think I've got issues that I haven't done all I can do. Maybe they're in trouble because of me. Maybe it's my fault. And I need to get better and better and become a better Christian because maybe I'm the one to deliver them. Maybe they're doing all those foolish things because their deliverer failed. And maybe it was me. And it makes me just love them and realize that Satan's after them. And I want you to realize that your righteousness matters more than just you feeling good about your self-esteem. And somebody needs you. And yes, there's a time when their judgments and their actions are so bad, like Israel. And that's a rare case. Don't assume that's most cases. But even in that case where even they could, those three couldn't deliver them, one person a little farther back could have delivered all of them. And I want you to realize that there is a power of deliverance by righteousness. And your righteousness just glows out there and delivers and saves and rescues people. And you'll find that if you'll get yourself straightened out, you'll find those you love doing better and better. You might not have said a word. It might not have been because you had such a good argument. It just, righteousness delivers. Noah's family was delivered because of Noah's righteousness, not because Noah built such a good ark or put up such a good argument for his children to be good. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would understand today that your righteousness delivers. What an interesting thing. You said 3 or 4 times in the same chapter of Ezekiel. At this point, even Job and Daniel and Noah couldn't deliver this nation. But at certain points, they could have, Lord, and they did. Even in one case, delivering the entire human race. More than delivering that people, delivering a kingdom that extended across the known world. Lord, help us to be deliverers. Help us to get out of our own way and our own just trying to keep ourselves straight, but get to the point where we love others and start getting your blessing upon our lives so that that'll extend to those around us and that we can be deliverers even though we don't know who we're going to deliver yet or who's dependent on us. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.